fluorescent blue lettering against a black background, Walt Disney Pictures. A bright light glows from the top of a gigantic radio mast standing on top of the world. Sound waves pulse from its top. RKO Pictures. Roughly painted on an orange rock, primitive figures climb a slope from left to right. Walt Disney Pictures presents. More figures climb up a slope from right to left. The figures are climbing a mountain on top of which stands a gigantic gorilla, its arms reaching high. Emblazoned across the gorilla appears the title, Mighty Joe Young. Against a cloudy sky, a vast mountain stands tall, covered with dense jungle vegetation. Lower down the slopes, a baby gorilla swings from the branch of a tree. It falls onto springy ferns. A little way off, a blonde-haired young woman takes photographs. The woman watches as the baby gorilla joins an older female gorilla, who's part of a group feeding contentedly amongst the ferns. Beside the woman, a blonde-haired girl of about 9 consults reference books, then watches the gorillas, pencil in hand. The baby gorilla looks in their direction and moves forward curiously. The others are unbothered. The girl with plaits watches with a smile. The baby gorilla bounds away from the others and the girl puts her books down and runs towards it. They size each other up playfully, playing peekaboo amongst the ferns. The alarmed female gorilla looks up and calls. The young woman looks up too.
Jill!
She beckons and Jill, in red shorts and blue patterned top, returns.
Jill, what did I tell you?
But Joe started it.
It's not good for them to interact with us.
Besides, that wasn't Joe. That was Marley.
No, it wasn't. It was Joe.
Joe's just a baby, Jill. He's too big to be Joe.
Check the pictures.
Night, men run through the jungle with torches. Some of them hold on to the leashes of salivating dogs. The dogs wear heavy chains round their necks. The native men and their dogs race through the thick jungle, some white men following them. These white poachers carry rifles. One of the native men's torches illuminates a painted animal skull on a pole. The man jumps back, terrified. A blonde-haired poacher yanks the pole out of the ground. A bearded poacher takes it from him. He waves it at the native men who recoil. The poacher then breaks the pole across his knee and stares defiantly into the darkness. In a hut in a remote jungle village, Jill bounds into bed. Her mother tends a fire.
Hey, sit into bed.
I am in bed.
Jill, what made you think that gorilla we saw today was Joe?
I was right, wasn't I?
Yeah. My notes say that Joe is only 6 months old. Either I got confused or Joe was a very unusual gorilla.
I told you so.
Yeah, you did. And Mommy's going to write in her journal that my trusted colleague, Dr. Jill Young, showed me the error of my ways. Now, go to sleep.
They both touch a wind chime.
Imba, wimbo, waupepo, wakati unajiwa. Imba, wimbo, waupepo, wakati.
An agitated black man comes in.
Excuse me, doctor.
They look up.
Night, Quelly.
Good night, Chili.
What is it, Quelly?
You must come, quickly.
Dr. Young grabs a jacket.
Mommy, can I come?
Stay here, sweetheart.
She fetches a torch. Jill tries to follow.
I don't want to go!
No. You stay here, child.
Outside, Dr. Young and Quelly step along a path.
Poachers!
East of the village.
Quelly draws a machete. Villagers head off into the jungle. Quelly and Dr. Young run after them. Jill watches forlornly from the front door of the hut. The poacher's guides start to chant.
They're at it again.
Ngaizamo, mystical nonsense. There is only one thing you should be afraid of on this mountain, and it's staring you right in the face.
The blonde man picks up dung.
Gorilla. Fresh. We're close.
The bearded poacher cocks his rifle and they head off, one of the guides shaking a bunch of metal objects. Jill puts on boots, grabs a torch, and races off into the night. The poachers approach the gorillas. Torchlight picks out the gorillas' startled features. Dr. Young and Quelly race along a track.
Gotta stop them. Everybody spread out.
Shooting!
Tabayani! Bali Bali!
Wazingiri! Wazingiri, Sasa!
The two poachers and their guides spread out and surround the gorillas. Joe's mother snarls from a tree. As the blonde poacher shines a torch, the bearded poacher takes aim with his rifle. Joe stares at the poacher in terror as he runs with his mother. The bearded poacher fixes the crosshairs of his rifle sight on the female gorilla and pulls the trigger. Joe's mother falls. Baby Joe cries.
Get the baby! Give me the bag!
The bearded poacher holds out a sack.
Don't worry. We want you alive. Come, come. Good job, Kijana.
He approaches Joe, who retreats, baring his teeth. Joe suddenly leaps on the poacher, knocking him to the ground. The bearded poacher tries to bat Joe off and then reaches for his pistol, but Joe bites into his fingers. The blonde poacher smacks Joe on the head with his rifle butt. Dr. Young runs up and grabs Joe. Dr. Young carries Joe away into the bushes. The bearded poacher gets up.
Give me the gun!
He fires at the retreating Dr. Young, but misses. He fires again. Dr. Young falls. Terrified, Joe scrambles away as Jill races along the track towards him. The two of them run straight into each other.
Joe?
The poacher's torches come closer.
She's got to be here somewhere. The woman's got that damn devil with her.
But I think you might have shot her.
These people want to live like heroes. Let them die like heroes. Oh, oh! That little demon took off my thumb and trigger finger. Monstrule! Monstrule!
What if he shot the woman? We should help her.
No, let's get out of here.
Yeah, that looks bad. Let me back before you bleed to death.
I will kill this little monkey. I swear I will kill him.
Jill holds Joe close, her watchful eyes wide and tearful. Another solitary torch beam approaches through the mist. Jill sits up and hastily turns on her torch.
Mommy! Mommy!
Jill runs to embrace her mother, and the two fall to the ground.
Mom, there are men in there.
I know.
Dr. Young winces in pain. She covers her wound with her jacket and then holds her daughter close.
Oh, look who's here. Hello, Joe.
Joe regards them with sad brown eyes.
He's scared.
I know. Oh, poor baby. He lost his mommy tonight.
Dr. Young struggles to lean up.
He needs someone to protect him. Will you do that for me?
Jill nods.
Promise me you'll protect him.
They cling to each other, sobbing. A full moon hangs in an inky black sky. Little Jill gazes bleakly down at the hand-carved cross. Quelly, in traditional dress, stands beside her, a carved wooden staff in his hand. The somber group of brightly dressed villagers scatter flower petals, the looming mountain behind. Joe watches sadly from the undergrowth. As Quelli lays the staff against the grave, Jill runs to Joe.
Jill!
Quelli calls after her.
Jill!
Quelli fondly watches as Jill hugs Joe and gently leads him away into the ferns.
Come on.
12 years later. A sweeping aerial view over lush plains and foothills. A jeep travels at speed along a dirt track across a grassy plain, kicking up red earth as it follows a curving track. The awesome mountain range looms in the distance. At the wheel of the muddy grey jeep, a white man in his 30s with rugged good looks in a creased khaki shirt drives with determination, his hair blowing in the breeze. He passes a few isolated circular huts with thatched roofs. Several villagers come and go, cattle graze and children play near the huts. Further up the road, he drives past a number of stalls set up by the roadside, then stops outside a concrete shack with a corrugated iron roof. Standing in his way is a dark-skinned man with greased black hair and shades. The driver stands up in his seat.
You must be Pendy, the one and only, bro. Come.
The driver steps down.
Polini.
A group of scruffy men stand by jeeps.
6 men, 3 cars, that's everything you asked for, Mr. O'Hara. All paid for in advance out of Pendy's own pocket.
Greg O'Hara eyes the men, unimpressed.
These guys wouldn't be poachers. I asked for experienced trackers.
These men are the best. I assure you, the very best.
Unconvinced, Greg hands over an envelope.
Let's get this show on the road.
Grinning, Pindy opens a storage box on Greg O'Hara's jeep.
Hey, you've got a nice piece here. What are we hunting, elephants?
We're not hunting anything.
Aha! Tranquilizer darts. I agree, much nicer to animals than bullets.
Your men know how to use these, right?
Oh, sure, boss. We only have professionals here. So, you tell me, where are we going today?
Greg aims his binoculars to the top of the mountain.
There.
There?
Greg lays a map on the jeep bonnet.
That's not such a good mountain, boss. The men don't like it very much at all. You see, there is a legend they believe in, that a creature lives
there. Megazama, sacred guardian of Mount Pangani. They say any man who enters his domain is never heard of again.
You know it?
Pindy rubs his chin nervously.
How strange. That's not by any chance what you're looking for, is it, boss?
Looking for a legend? Why would I want to do that?
Greg grins and Pindy shrugs uncomfortably before returning to his men.
Akuna kusi mama, huh?
Greg gazes up at the mountaintop, shrouded in mist. The jeeps now clamber up rough terrain. 2 monkeys flee. Later, Greg's sitting under some trees with Pindy, listening intently, wearing headphones.
What are you listening to?
Sounds.
He moves a microphone.
I understand. Sounds of the jungle. I know a guy. He can get you a CD of Jungle Sounds cheap. Even cheaper if you...
Come on, let's go.
They rush out into a sunlit clearing where men are carrying a leopard in a cage. They put the cage down. Greg watches the pacing animal.
See, boss, I told you these men were the best. Whoa.
Greg grabs a long-handled dart.
You're a beauty.
He rams it into the leopard's rump. He draws off a sample of blood and studies it. The animal's roar echoes through the mountains.
Okay, set him free.
Pindy looks baffled.
Why bring a cage if you're not keeping the animal?
Because I'm only taking this.
The blood sample.
Yes, but I know a guy in Botswana. He'd pay you $10,000 for that leopard. Now I'm willing to split with you 50-50.
To the men.
Put him in the truck.
The men lift the cage.
Put the cat down now.
Pindy glares at the men.
You heard him! Put the cat down! Wake up!
The men do as they're told. Pindy shrugs.
They never understand me.
A startled flock of birds rises up above the trees. The leopard looks about in alarm, its ears flattened. All eyes turn in the direction of the birds to see the trees shake, as though being pushed aside in the path of some giant beast beneath them. The trees stop moving. Greg narrows his eyes nervously as he scans the area. He swallows hard. Suddenly, a gigantic black gorilla bounds from the dense jungle. He looks about, roaring furiously. As Greg stares up at the beast in fear and wonder, open-mouthed Pindi freezes in horror as the enormous gorilla rears up on his hind legs. The gorilla pounds his chest and then stares down at the petrified men.
Excuse me, but I think it's time to leave.
Don't move!
I'm not moving, but my bones are...
Don't run! Stay still!
On all fours, the gorilla lollops down the slope towards them. He eyes the leopard, pacing fearfully in its cage, then prizes off the roof of the cage. The leopard jumps free. The gorilla turns. The gorilla picks up the cage and hurls it at the men. Greg's flung to the ground. The gorilla eyes the men in warning. The gorilla coolly lumbers away, giving a jeep a nudge down the slope for good measure. Greg excitedly gets to his feet.
Come on, he's getting away!
Pindi waggles his head.
Come on, we're going after him! What do you mean, we? There's no way my men will risk their lives with something like this! I'll triple your pay. Pesa Zaidi! Zaidi! Pesa Zaidi!
The men nod in agreement.
20!
Pindi and Greg stand in a speeding jeep.
Don't use the drags unless I give the signal! Okay, when we catch up to him, I want you men to herd him towards me! Munifahamo!
One second! Herd him towards us? Why?
I gotta be close to get a blood sample!
He grins at Pindi.
Real close!
The gorilla bounds across sun-drenched grassy slopes, the jeep's close behind. The jeeps bump and rattle through the long grass. Greg's jeep gains on the gorilla. With the mountains towering behind them, Greg's jeep reaches the gorilla on one side, while another vehicle draws level with the gorilla on its other side. A guide in the other vehicle aims his gun.
No, don't shoot! No!
A tranquilizer dart sticks into the gorilla's arm. The gorilla continues to lollop, then takes a swipe at the guide's vehicle. He bashes the vehicle again, sending it rolling onto its roof. Greg watches aghast as it bounces back upright.
They live. Bet you provide a great health plan.
The jeep rattles on after the gorilla.
Look at the way he moves. Magnificent.
The gorilla stops.
Watch out!
He waves an arm angrily before bounding away. Another jeep crashes into Greg's and Pindi curses.
Come on, let's go!
Greg watches horror-struck as a guide climbs over the windscreen of his jeep, strapping himself into a seat on the bonnet beside winching equipment.
What the hell's that guy trying to do?
He holds out a long pole with a giant metal pincer on the end.
Hey!
The pincer's attached to the winch by a heavy chain. Gaining fast on the gorilla, the guy holds out the pole and shoves the pincer around the animal's left arm. The pincer locks, forming a collar. The gorilla furiously runs on, unraveling the chain from the winch as he goes. The chain now completely unraveled from the winch, the gorilla drags the jeep off the ground as it heads up a slope towards the jungle. The driver frantically fights with the gear lever. The jeep's now dragged through dense forest. Greg's vehicle drives around the trees.
I can't see him, he's gone, long gone!
No, he's coming out on the other side of those trees, we gotta get in front of him!
The man on the winch seat shields his face against the branches as the gorilla continues to pull the jeep through the forest. The gorilla emerges onto a grassy slope and stops.
There he is!
Seeing them, the gorilla lopes across their path, raising the attached chain. It's too late to stop. Greg pushes Pindi down. Greg leaps from the jeep as it smashes into the chain. He rolls painfully down a slope. Everyone watches in terror as the gorilla proceeds to pull the chain in. The guy in the winch seat just manages to unstrap himself before the front of the vehicle is yanked off. The guy is flung into the air. The incensed but triumphant gorilla wrenches the collar from his arm and with a parting contemptuous glower moves off towards the jungle. The men cower, deeply shaken but relieved. The gorilla stops and turns, thumping his mighty chest with his fists. The gorilla turns away and stomps off into the jungle. Greg gets to his feet as a small truck approaches.
Mukasa!
Did you see that? Did you see what he did?
Yes.
Picked up the chain. Did you see the intelligence?
Yes, I saw the intelligence. He almost took my head off.
Greg gleefully grabs his rucksack from his jeep as the others clamber aboard the open-backed truck.
Yeah, bro, let's go.
Get these men down the mountain and bandaged up.
Pindy's gobsmacked.
You're not coming with us?
Are you kidding?
Pindy shakes his head.
Crazy American. Okay, Duende!
Pindy shouts orders to the driver as Greg vanishes into the jungle. Greg makes his uncertain and treacherous way through the dense and dark virgin jungle, breathing heavily in the humid air, using a video camera as he goes. He looks up towards the canopy, then frowns at the lack of a track. Startled, he swings round. Then, seeing nothing, he continues, licking his parched lips. He moves his camera slowly about, then seeing something on the ground in front of him, he stops and throws down his rucksack. It's an enormous paw print. Mesmerized, he carefully kneels and, keeping the camera steady, he puts his own hand in shot. It's tiny by comparison. A shadow passes over him. He falls back in terror. The towering gorilla takes him by the leg. He shakes Greg upside down. A young blonde woman runs towards them. The short-haired woman in shorts and vest top reaches them. Joe stops the shaking. Greg sees her upside down.
Hey, can you get him to put me down?
Joe regards her dutifully.
Joe, drop him.
He does. The young woman winces. Greg stirs in a bed, a compress across his forehead. Quelli stands over him.
Where am I?
The infirmary. You've been unconscious for an entire night. You're lucky to be alive.
I don't feel very lucky.
You crashed your vehicle. It's waiting for you outside.
There's an injury behind.
He sits up as Quelli pours water.
The kicker was getting dropped on my head by Ned Guy Zamu. Do you think that's funny? You ought to try it.
And Guy Zamu is just a legend, my friend.
No, he's a giant gorilla with a mean backhand.
Greg drinks from the glass.
Wait. There was a woman.
A woman?
Out in the jungle, a beautiful woman. She saved my life.
I think it would be wise for you to see a doctor in Kiminjau. I took the liberty of calling one for you.
Don't need one.
But he's expecting you. If he can drive, I think it's best that you leave today.
Quelli, wearing a bead necklace, turns and goes to the door. Greg looks confounded. Greg emerges from the infirmary into the bustling village street. On the other side of the road, Quelli calls to the blonde woman from the jungle as she selects vegetables from a stall.
Hey, Bargani.
Jema, Santi.
Jema, Morango. A visitor. Must be feeling better. Should leave the infirmary by today.
She sees him by the jeep.
Looks like he already has. He's walking so soon, Joe should have dropped him harder.
She eyes him suspiciously.
He's not a poacher, Jill. The man works for Animal Conservancy in California.
She moves away, putting fruits in her basket.
Can't be trusted, he's an outsider.
Across the road, Greg's videoing some children running past. His attention's caught by Jill on the video screen. He looks up at her, baffled. Jill looks away awkwardly.
Yes, yes. He said he was saved yesterday by... a woman. A beautiful woman.
Pleased, Jill shoots Greg an intrigued look. Greg leans on his jeep, smiling at her.
And what did you tell him?
What can I tell him, Jill?
The man knows what he saw. He's not a fool, Manzango.
She scrutinizes Greg, then haughtily puts the basket of fruit and vegetables on her head and strolls away from the market. Greg gazes at her, then starts to follow. Later, Jill clambers up rocky jungle terrain, a pack on her back, a traditionally decorated sarong wrapped around her waist. She reaches an idyllic remote waterfall and dumps her bag by the side of a deep pool. Greg follows. Jill unwraps her sarong, revealing her shorts. Greg watches from behind a palm. As she quickly turns round, Greg ducks down. Jill now climbs into a tree and hangs her bag on a branch. She removes a torch from her bag and heads off again. Greg follows. Jill passes a mighty waterfall. Greg peers at her from behind a tree choked with vines. Jill reaches a further pool. She shines her torch from side to side into the jungle and then puts her finger and thumb into her mouth and whistles. Joe's form slowly appears amongst the dark vegetation. He looks down at her, then lopes out into the clearing to join her by the pool. They look into each other's eyes and Jill gently strokes him.
Hey, big guy. How are you?
Concealed, Greg videos the scene.
What were you doing stomping around looking for trouble yesterday, huh? You're not supposed to let people see you, remember? Don't do that again, okay? Please. Please. You wanna play? Okay. You ready?
She turns her back and covers her eyes. Joe stomps off in Greg's direction and passes him. Jill cheats.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10!
She turns playfully.
Ready or not, here I come.
She heads off into the jungle.
Joe!
Joe covers his eyes.
Where are you, big fella? Coming to get you.
Jill spots an enormous hairy lump in the undergrowth.
Oh my! I wonder where Joe can be.
She creeps up.
Come out wherever you are. I found you! Yes. Yes, I did.
She nuzzles him.
Trying to hide from me.
Greg watches wide-eyed from behind a tree.
You want to come and find me? Close your eyes. Ready? Go!
Joe closes his eyes. Joe opens them, and Jill gleefully hides under a bush. Looking about him, Joe heads off and walks straight past Jill. Jill watches him move off further into the jungle, moving stems and branches aside. He looks through the thick undergrowth, mystified. He appears stumped, then returns the way he came.
Come on, Joe.
Joe sniffs and looks about, then plucks a palm out of the ground, revealing Greg. Greg cowers.
Nice monkey.
Joe towers over him threateningly as Jill hastens towards them. She spots him.
Joe, it's okay! Joe, run! Get out of here!
Joe eyes Greg with his shiny big brown eyes, then swipes him. Joe obediently moves off. Jill's not impressed.
Thanks. Hide and seek's not really my game.
Anything broken?
No, I think I'm okay.
Jill comes over and inspects the camera.
I think it's okay.
Oh, good.
I think it's still working.
Oh, great.
I can fix that for you.
No way!
She smashes it against a tree.
Hey, where are you going? Wait a minute.
Hey, hold on a second. What's the problem?
You're the problem. This is the second time I've saved you from being killed. Next time, I'm just gonna watch. You understand?
Okay, all right. You saved me, and I'm grateful. Thank you, Miss Young. I know who you are. You're Ruth Young's daughter. Did she know about Joe? Did she have a theory on him? How did you keep him a secret all these years?
By keeping people like you off this mountain.
People like me? I want to help you.
You go back to where you came from and tell them what you saw? This place will be crawling with people.
That's gonna happen anyway. Look, I'm not the only one who saw him. An animal as rare as Joe means big money. It's gonna be tough trying to protect him here. Maybe impossible.
Here is where he lives. He doesn't have a choice.
That's not true. The people I work for could take care of Joe. They have the facilities.
A cage? That's just what Joe needs.
No, not a cage. A preserve. A place where he'll be free. Free from poachers, land developers. A place he'll be safe.
But he won't be free.
Jill sadly turns to go.
How long do you think he can stay free here? The next people who come are going to be coming to hunt Joe down.
She hurries off. A large country house with giraffes outside. Inside, the bearded poacher sits behind a large desk. A balding man is with him.
Quite an impressive facility you have here, Mr. Strasser.
Thank you.
Tell me, why is it that you keep such a low profile about this wonderful place?
Our only interest is the well-being of our animals.
Well, I think I've come to the right place for Morris.
I'm sure you have.
Bearded Strasser studies a photo of a panda.
He's grown out of his habitat and, well, our zoo just doesn't have the budget to do anything about it. That's why he needs a new home.
That's the telephone for you, Mr. Strasser. It's urgent.
Will you excuse me, Miss Anderson?
Sure.
I'll be back.
Strasser follows the blonde poacher to a basement where a rhino horn's being packaged.
Garth, see what the market is for the organs of this lovely panda.
Oof, big fella. We should get him up.
Strasser.
It's about time. Do you know how long I've been waiting?
What do you want, Bigby?
Not what I want, boss. What you want.
How about a giant gorilla?
Doc.
As big as three men. 2,000 pounds at least.
You've been drinking, haven't you?
I swear to God, boss, I saw him with my own two eyes. He's huge.
Don't waste my time, Pindy.
He puts the phone down.
Hello? Boss?
2,000-pound gorilla. He's crazy.
A Land Rover barrels along the road through the jungle village on its way up to the mountains. Two of Pindy's guides sit in the front seats. Jill strides down the middle of the road towards the Land Rover, a huge net in her hands. The Land Rover slides to a stop in front of her.
Stupid gal! What do you think you are doing, huh?
Found this in the forest this morning. Thought maybe you dropped it and might want it back!
She hurls it.
Poaching's illegal! Get off this mountain!
One of the men walks up to her.
Jill!
Quelly runs over.
Jill, I need to talk to you. Jill!
She pushes Quelly away and steps up close to the man, hatred in her eyes.
Murderer.
She walks away.
Maybe it's Hester.
Wadji.
Wade.
No, Wadji.
Wade.
Quelly glares at the men.
Listen, Linda. Linda! Good job!
Come on, Marco.
The other man steps up to him. Quelly pushes him away. Quelly joins Jill in her jungle hut. He pulls a photo of her mother from the wall and slams it down.
Your mother slept in this bed. She worked at this desk. She died in this jungle. You plan to do everything just like her.
My mother would have been proud of what I did today.
Proud? Of this foolishness out there? Proud of you risking your life?
She risked hers. Why shouldn't I risk mine? Quelly, I'm just trying to keep a promise here. And I promise to take care of Joe. And I will do everything it takes to stop those poachers.
You cannot stop them. Even she could not stop them. The other gorillas... they have moved south to safer lands. Joe stays behind.
They won't accept him. Joan needs me.
Tears in his eyes, Quelly walks up to Jill.
The danger here is building for both of you. I feel it, and so do you. I know what the American is offering, Jill. Consider it. That's all I ask.
She looks sadly down as he leaves. Sitting at the desk, Jill picks up the black and white photo of her mother and stares down at it, her eyes filling with tears, her face crumpling. She puts the photo down, clasps her hands, and rests her chin on them as she stares into the distance, troubled. Greg's filling his Humvee off-roader with diesel at an old pump in the village. He turns and looks across the road to where Pindy's men are preparing for an expedition, the one who stepped up to Jill Rattle's metal objects tied onto a rope. Jill, wearing a pale blue vest top and grey patterned sarong, watches the men worriedly as she walks over to Greg's jeep.
Leaving?
Yeah, I'm heading up into the mountains. See if I can throw some of those dirt bags off Joe's trail.
Think it will work?
Not for long. I'm just trying to buy you some time. I suggest you get Joe as deep into the jungle as you can. As fast as you can.
He shuts the bonnet of the Humvee and gets into the driver's seat.
Okay.
Okay, what?
Okay, we'll go with you.
Greg stares at her.
We?
Me and Joe, we'll go with you to that place of yours in California.
You sure about this?
No, I'm absolutely not sure about this, but I'll do this on one condition.
Name it.
I'm in charge of Joe.
Done.
Done?
Done.
Just like that.
Just...
He shrugs and smiles.
You're not very trusting, are you?
No, I'm not.
Must be tough for you, then, trying to measure me up. Trying to decide if I'm full of it or...
Or just a fool.
I guess we'll just have to figure it out as we go along. Look, what do you want me to say? You'll be in charge of Joe, okay?
She looks down, unsure.
Come on. We'll shake on it.
I don't shake. That's not how we make pacts around here.
All right, how do you make pacts around here?
You have to endure a bite from a Makiki spider.
His face falls.
What?
You'll have a high fever, hallucinations, you'll say things, lots of things. I'll hear what's in your heart. Then, if your intentions prove true, then we have a pact.
Spider bite and hallucinations?
That's right.
Then you'll trust me to take you and Joe to California with me.
Absolutely.
He swallows hard as he stares at her.
Well, what do you say?
I say that's the biggest load of...
She smiles.
Maybe you're not a fool after all.
She gazes at him. They turn to look across the road where one of the men is firing a rifle into the air.
Get your things together fast. We're getting out of here as soon as we can.
Jill sprints towards her hut in the trees.
Kiki spider.
Later, wearing pale beige shorts and her blue vest top, with her small rucksack on her back, Jill races through the jungle, Joe lumbering after her. Joe gallops ahead on all fours and waits for her in a clearing. Jill climbs a steep bank and joins him, going to stand by his left arm, her head reaching almost to his armpit level. She strokes his long brown hair as she looks up into his sad brown eyes and shakes her head.
I don't know what else to do, Joe. I just want you to be safe.
Joe's lower lip protrudes slightly from his face, making him look like he's pouting. His eyes glisten as he turns to stare out across the lush, dense jungle growing in the folds of the mountains below them. Jill follows his gaze and then hugs Joe's thick arm tenderly as the gigantic gorilla surveys his home.
Say hello to all your favourite characters on one fantastic DVD. Making Children Smile has over 2 hours of non-stop fun from 14 amazing shows. With £5.50 of every copy sold going straight to children's charities. Making Children Smile on DVD for Monday.
Yes! The KFC Family Feast. The perfect way to end a family day. All for only £9.99.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Magnificent.
On Friday night, celebrities perform the unexpected and the unusual. The All-Star Talent Show starts 8th of September on 5.
Intersection. Along a five-lane highway leaving the intersection, a red Chevrolet minivan is followed by a huge truck. Greg's driving the minivan. Sitting next to him, Jill looks back at the truck.
You think he's okay back there?
He's doing fine.
Okay.
Jill hugs her bag.
I'm sorry, I'm just a little tense.
Greg nods knowingly. Jill looks behind her again.
You think he's okay back there? I think he's okay back there.
Good.
So this is L.A., huh? Everything looks the same. How do you know where you are?
It's easy. The ocean's that way, the mountains are that way, Mexico's that way, and Canada's that way. You don't have to worry about the rest. You'll never see it through the smog.
Jill shifts in her seat.
Maybe you better check and see if Joe's okay back there.
She swings round and then looks at Greg with a smile. In the huge truck trailer, Joe stares out through circular holes in the trailer's side. His eyes are alive with interest as he watches the passing buildings. A car pulls alongside, a small boy in the passenger seat, tossing a baseball gently up into the air and catching it. The boy notices a huge eye staring out of one of the holes and winds down his window, his mouth agape with wonder. The boy smiles sweetly and waves at Joe, who sticks a couple of fingers through a slot and waves back. The car pulls away from the trailer. Later, a police motorcyclist leads the convoy along a country road and turns in through a large gateway, the minivan and the truck following. A guard at the gate stares at the trailer in awe as the truck passes him and lumbers on down a road past some smart two-story buildings. The guard speaks into his walkie-talkie.
Stay engaged at Dr. Base. They're pulling up now.
I copy that. Okay, everybody! Elvis is in the building!
People look up at the black woman who's wearing a white lab coat. The minivan and the truck pass various animal enclosures, including one with a rhinoceros in it. A white man with a high forehead and receding dark brown hair approaches the woman in the lab coat.
The fun begins.
Hear that, Harry? They smell it.
Who, Greg or the gorilla?
The minivan drives along a dirt track and pulls up in front of them. Greg gets out.
All right, I'm a little confused, O'Hara, because you phoned us to say you're bringing back a 2,000-pound wild animal.
Hiya, gorgeous.
Welcome back, Greg.
But security tells me you requested no fire hoses and no restraints of any kind.
Come on, so let me introduce you to somebody.
Well, how are we supposed to control this animal with that giant rolled-up newspaper?
Jill Young, I'd like you to meet Dr. Harry Rubin, who runs the place.
Nice to meet you.
Hi.
And Dr. Cecily Banks, who makes sure he doesn't screw it up.
Hi. Hi. Nice to meet you, Bob.
Joe rocks the trailer.
Hold on, big guy. I'm coming.
Jill peers into the trailer and then walks down to the doors.
I think he's ready to come out.
Harry, I think it's time you met Joe.
Jill's face falls as she sees the rocky enclosure.
I know, it looks small, but this is just the entrance. He has the entire guild around.
Okay.
Jack, Byrne, what, are we going to have to hose you guys down too? Come on, get the sedatives ready.
No, we don't need any of that.
Michelle, don't worry, we know what we're doing here.
The best way to handle. Hold on, Harry, you and I had an agreement. The lady's in charge of Joe.
Well, how is she going to handle
it? Easy, Tiger, come on.
Two keepers open the trailer doors and stare fearfully at Joe.
Okay, guys, I got it.
All right.
You sure you got everything under control?
Yeah.
Jill shines her torch from side to side.
Come on.
You sure she knows what she's doing?
She knows.
You want me to come in there and get you?
Joe gets up.
There you go. Come on. Come look at your new home.
The trailer rocks as Joe plods along it and emerges into the sunshine. He stands on a platform bridge linking the back of the trailer with the enclosure, everyone staring up at him, their mouths hanging open.
Come on.
Joe looks out at his new enclosure, examining the grassy terraces and the waterfall, wrinkling his mouth as he does so.
Hey, come on, Vern, what am I paying you for? Get some pictures.
Aye.
And get me in there, too. You know, for perspective.
Harry steps towards Joe. Joe turns and growls at the spectators and then walks back into the trailer.
Okay. It's okay, Joe.
Jill follows him in.
Hey, Joe, come on. Nothing happened. You're not scared of those people, are you? I promise nothing will happen to you, okay?
Greg watches.
Come on, Joe.
Jill backs out of the trailer and Joe follows her.
There you go. Yeah, you big guy. Come on, Joe. There you go. Come on, big guy. Come on.
Joe steps off the platform bridge and onto the grass of the enclosure. Jill hurries back across the platform to stand at Greg's side. Harry's next to him.
I think he's gonna be fine.
I'm glad. Jack, let's move that platform out of there, okay?
Oh, no, I'm going back in there with
him. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We can't allow that. You see, we don't have insurance to cover anyone in there who's not an employee.
You're nuts.
But I'm supposed to be in charge of Jack.
Yes, you are, and I'm in charge of this facility.
Harry wanders off. Joe stares sadly at Jill as the platform bridge is removed. Later, Greg shows Jill into a bare apartment.
And I'm in charge of this facility. I mean, who does he think he is? I bet that man has never spent one night outside in his entire life.
Probably not. Well, here are your new deluxe accommodations.
Should be out there with Joe. Not here. Not in this...
She looks around, frightened.
This cage.
Look, I know how you feel. It's not exactly my idea, home sweet home, either. But at least you're close to Joe.
That night, Joe sits on a grassy terrace at the front of his enclosure. Greg stands watching Joe, a metal fence, a small river, and an electric fence between them. Joe looks up. Greg turns to follow his gaze, seeing a spotlight and a buzzing power supply at the top of a telegraph pole, attached to the electric fence. Joe turns to look at Greg. Slowly, Greg turns to face Joe. The huge gorilla stares pleadingly at Greg and then stares back up at the power supply. In Jill's apartment, the digital clocks on the microwave, the coffee maker, and radio alarm clock all flash 12, reset after a power failure. Jill sits on her bed in the gloom, wrapping a dressing gown around her. She turns to look out of the open window, moonlight illuminating her pretty face. Cecily.
Where's Greg?
I don't know. You know, he collected his paycheck. He's probably in some jungle by now looking for giant sheep.
Well, I think he should be here. I mean, this is his discovery.
Excuse me. Greg's expertise is crashing Humvees. It's not explaining primate behavior to the chairman of the conservancy board.
You know what I think, Harry? I think you're jealous.
I'm crippled with envy, yes. I mean, you know, just once, I wanted to go into the field and find a new species. You know, anything, a mollusk.
Here we go.
A suited man.
Harry, Dr. Banks.
Hi.
So, let's go see him.
See, the gorillas in the Pangani carry this recessive gene that pops up every four or five generations with this rare form of gigantism.
And that's where the legend comes from.
But I knew it was more than a legend, so I followed my gut instinct. I just had a hunch that this thing was true.
Pretty damn sharp, Harry.
All right, here we are.
They arrive at the enclosure in a golf cart.
Pretty cool, huh?
My, I should say so.
The balding chairman studies the enclosure.
Where is he?
Joe! Come here, Joe!
Cecily chuckles.
Come here, boy! Gorillas. There's never one around when you need him, even for the chairman of the board.
Well, I came here to see him.
You know what? Maybe, you know what? I'll feed him. That'll get him to come out. No, don't worry. I know what I'm doing. Elliot, you stay here. I'm going to go open the gate, okay?
Jill's watching an infomercial on TV for a spray to hide baldness. Her mouth hangs open in amazement.
This product has been tested for 10 years. It's not just a colored spray like some of you might be thinking. It's just a plain, ordinary color.
She laughs.
And it just washes out in the evening.
As an alarm sounds, men race out of the buildings with tranquilizer guns and rifles. Jill sprints out of the apartment block and runs into Greg.
I was coming to get
What's
you.
What's that noise?
Security alarm, Joe's habitat. Come on.
They leap into the red minivan. They pull up outside the enclosure as armed men run through a gate into the enclosure and take aim at Joe. Cecily hurries towards Greg and Jill.
No, Joe, what's happening? He's going crazy.
Open the gate.
Greg and Jill dash into the enclosure, where a roaring Joe's pulling up banana palms next to a cowering Harry.
Hold it! Don't
no!
On all fours, Joe growls at the terrified Harry. As Jill watches, Joe glances at her and then stares excitedly back at Harry. Jill's face floods with relief.
Oh, God. Harry, it's okay.
Does it feel okay?
Listen to me. Just jump out from behind the trees.
No, I'd rather not.
Just jump out and say you found me.
Well, he knows he's found me. That's the problem.
Harry, do what she says.
Very unsurely, Harry looks up at Joe. He jumps.
You found me!
Joe turns and runs across the grass. He looks back at Harry and then studies his surroundings before diving into some trees and hunkering down. Jill laughs and runs over to Harry.
He's playing with him. Harry, he's playing with you. Hide and seek.
What?
Jill tiptoes towards the trees.
Where are you? Where can Joe be? Here he is! Meeting time over, Harry.
Very funny. Good thing Joe didn't want to play doctor.
Look at you all happy. Huh, Joe? That makes me so happy.
The chairman.
Harry!
You know what? That never happened before. That, it was weird, wasn't it?
That girl in charge of the gorilla.
Elliot, she has no scientific training.
That ape is the best fundraising tool this conservancy has ever had. He's happy. I'm happy.
So you really think that she's going to be able to...
Put her on the payroll, Harry.
Harry swallows.
Okay.
Did you see that? Did you see that?
I saw.
Playing hide and seek with him.
It's great.
Oh, my God. You're right. He likes it here.
Joe watches Jill hug Greg.
Oh, my God. On his second day, he's playing. He likes it here.
She runs off.
You got it bad.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about. Usually you are out the door as soon as the animal's in his habitat.
You have a very active imagination.
I don't think so.
I think so.
No, I don't think so. I think Mr. World Traveler has goo-goo eyes for the gorilla girl.
Greg smiles, unsettled.
Just close your eyes, and then he's going to do that, and he's like, you found me! Come on!
At home, Strasser watches TV.
Behind me is the habitat of what the experts are calling one of the world's most important zoological finds of this century. This is the home of what is believed to be the world's largest primate, a 2,000-pound gorilla named Joe. Joe has been at the California Animal Conservancy for a little over a month now. He was brought here from Africa by Dr. Gregory O'Hara.
My God. Bindi was right.
The blonde-haired poacher comes in.
Fortunately, the California Animal Conservancy's program...
He's beautiful.
...rescuing animals and bringing them here so they can...
The most beautiful animal I've ever seen.
And the most valuable, that's for sure.
Also some electrical wires around the entire perimeter.
Isn't that the...
Wait,
Joe was raised from infancy by Jill Young, the daughter of famed primatologist Ruth Young. Their closeness stems from a tragic bond. Both Joe's and Jill's mothers were killed by poachers 12 years ago in the...
Bloody hell, that's him!
They both became orphans on the same night.
That's him, that's the little fellow who bit your finger off!
Strasser inspects the three fingers on his right hand.
I'm always amazed how... If you wait long enough, the opportunity for justice finally comes. Garth, book us 2 tickets to America. We are going to pay a visit to this incredible animal. I think I know how to convince his current owners to part with him.
Strasser straps on a leather-covered false thumb and forefinger. Harry's escorting people around the conservancy.
Now, this fellow is one of only 300 wild yaks remaining on the planet. Now, you may ask, why should we care if this subspecies of yak survives? But if we don't protect...
Excuse me, can we see Joe?
Yes, you can certainly all see Joe for the mere price of a Diamond Circle benefactor ticket to tomorrow night's benefit. But, you know, this is for a good cause.
Unnoticed, Garth slips away from the back of the group of people and sneaks into a marquee which is shielding the front of Joe's enclosure from view. Joe's sitting eating leaves. Garth walks to the metal fence, stares at him, and then pulls out a bunch of small metal objects tied to a rope. Joe looks up. Garth shakes the objects. Garth smiles cruelly. Joe leaps up and bounds down the terraces towards the edge of the enclosure, but as he goes to reach for Garth, he knocks his hand on the electric fence. The fence sparks and Joe quickly withdraws his hand, looking at it in pain, and then staring at the grinning Garth.
You remember, don't you?
Joe bares his sharp teeth as he roars. That night, Jill and Greg wander along a beach, eating chips.
So this is what you call a good meal in a fine restaurant?
Yeah.
It's my favorite restaurant because they let you take off your shoes.
They take off their shoes and wander alongside a wooden pier towards the ocean.
My granddad used to bring me fishing down here when I was a kid.
Wow. The Pacific Ocean.
A busker on the pier plays a saxophone.
That's nice. Live music?
I hired him special. 10 minutes ago. You want to dance?
What? So this is a date or something? Not that I know. I've never been in one before.
Yeah, well, I guess most guys are afraid of a girl's father. I can just see a guy telling Joe he's going to get you home by midnight.
Well, nobody's ever had to tell Joe what time they'll have me home by.
She stops and, twisting her lips, turns to face him.
What's it like?
It?
Yeah, this whole dating, dancing, love thing.
Well, it's kind of like being bit by a Makiki spider.
And how's that?
You get kind of a fever.
Fever? And then?
And then you find yourself saying things. Lots of things.
What kind of things?
Things like...
He gazes into her eyes and slowly moves his face closer to hers.
What is it?
I'm sorry. Just think.
She pulls a pager off her belt. It reads, Joe, trouble.
We gotta go.
On a grassy terrace in his enclosure, a raging Joe stands up on his hind legs, pulling up banana palms and ripping irrigation water pipes out of the ground. Harry and Cecily are outside the enclosure gate.
I don't understand this animal. He's got everything he wants. Why can't he just relax?
He's ripping out saplings. Bam, bam, bam.
Taking out irrigation pipe.
Really?
One big yank. Here comes the flood.
What happened? What's wrong with
him? Jill, do you? Is he okay?
Jill presses a button to open the gate and races inside.
Can you get in there and calm him down before he re-landscapes the habitat?
While pulling out a wire, Joe notices Jill. He growls sadly at her. A shocked Jill looks round at the devastation.
Joe, it's okay.
Joe sits down miserably, his lower lip protruding. Water shoots out of one of the broken irrigation pipes near him.
It's okay.
Jill goes to sit in his lap. She sings softly up to him. Enchanted by the scene, Greg walks towards them. Joe turns to stare at him. Greg stops. Joe looks back down at Jill, whose head is resting on his left arm. As she strokes the fur on his arm, Joe lifts his enormous right hand and gently caresses her cheek with a finger. Jill shuts her eyes and then gazes fondly up at Joe's huge black face. Joe closes his eyes. Next day, Jill's in an office with Elliot Baker, the chairman.
Impossible.
Please. I wouldn't be asking you to postpone the benefit unless I thought there was something really wrong with Joe, and I do.
From what I hear, you sang him to sleep last night like a baby. What's really wrong about that?
Mr. Baker, I swear to you, Joe is still not himself. He's nervous and agitated, and he shouldn't be exposed to a crowd of strangers right now. Look, if you can just please delay the party, just a few more...
It's too late, Jill.
No!
Elliot glances at a man at a computer and grits his teeth.
It's too soon.
Miss Young, let me give you some advice. Stop worrying about Joe, and start worrying about what you'll wear to the party tonight.
With a wink, he turns and leaves Jill. Jill stomps out of the office. Strasser, in a white jacket and Panama hat, walks along a colonnade outside. He climbs some steps up to a walkway. Jill bursts through a door at the end of the walkway and presses a button on her walkie-talkie.
Cecily?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, my fault.
She heads off.
Excuse me.
She turns to Strasser.
Yes.
It's just...
What?
You must be Jill Young.
Yes.
And you look just like her.
Jill raises her eyebrows.
Who?
Your mother.
Strasser stares at Jill, who steps towards him, puzzled.
You knew my mother?
Yes. I'm an old friend of your mother's. I knew her when she was only a little older than you, and you were just a tiny thing. What an incredible woman she was.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm Andreas Strasser. I've come here to talk with your Mr. Baker. Actually, I'm here for Joe.
Joe?
And in a way for your mother, too. I believe she would agree with me. A magnificent wild animal like Joe needs more space. Like the Raja Preserve I run in Botswana.
Raja Preserve?
It's 20,000 acres there, where the animals are free to run. Here, it's such a shame to see Joe living in a man-made habitat and being used as an attraction to raise money. But I upset you.
She shakes her head.
No.
Please, I only mean to offer an alternative.
She nods thoughtfully.
Anyway, here is my card. I'll be attending the event tonight. Maybe we can talk more about this matter then.
I look forward to it.
She offers her hand.
Yeah, bye.
He shakes it with his left hand, keeping his right hand in it. He's sitting on the hillside, looking out at the cars arriving at the marquee. In the marquee, Greg joins Harry and Cecily.
Boy, I can't believe all the VIPs here tonight.
Ooh, don't you clean up nice.
Cecily, you look ravishing.
Thank you.
Harry, you got a little cocktail sauce on your shirt there.
Oh, great. Now I look ridiculous.
No, you look fine. They look ridiculous.
Oh. Two keepers, one wearing tails.
Yeah, well, she doesn't.
Greg turns to look at the entrance. Jill's just come in, looking radiant in a long white dress. She fiddles nervously with her fingers. Greg just stares at her.
I picked out the dress. Aren't I smart?
Brilliant.
Greg walks over to Jill.
Harry, you're dripping again.
Oh, look at me. I'm like a mess here. You know, I have to give a speech tonight. You think anyone will notice?
No.
There's a huge brown stain on Harry's white shirt. Greg joins Jill.
I feel so stupid in this dress.
You look anything but stupid. Come on, let's get a drink.
A woman in her 60s stares at her.
She reminds me of somebody, but I can't think who it is.
You, when we first met.
Why are they staring at me?
Well, they're not staring at you. They're staring at that banana tower.
He points to a pile of bananas.
Very funny.
He hands her champagne.
Come on.
Greg holds out his arm, which she takes. Elliot greets guests, including Garth and Strasser.
Quite the turnout.
All the better.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please take your seats? Please. Can I have your attention, please?
One of the keepers bumps into Garth.
Please. Just take your seat.
Excuse me, sir, you dropped your keychain. Ah, of course.
Garth, you will lose your head if it wasn't screwed on. Nice party,
huh?
Where do we think he's from?
I don't know.
I'm Elliot Baker.
The world was once a garden teeming with life.
Garth and Strasser go outside and walk up to the fence in front of Joe's enclosure. Joe looks round as he hears the rattling of the metal objects. With an evil smile, Garth jangles the metal things on their piece of rope. Joe bounds towards them.
So, you haven't forgotten me. Good. Have you forgotten this?
Strasser holds up his right hand with the leather-covered false thumb and forefinger. Joe narrows his eyes, thinking back to when he bit off Strasser's fingers 12 years ago and Garth hitting him on the head with his rifle. Garth turns to Strasser.
How much do you think he's worth? A couple of million?
Have to be selling off.
piece by piece. Who knows how much we'll make?
Joe rears up and thumps the ground.
I've got you going. Now be a good boy. And frighten the ladies.
Joe curls his lip.
Okay, let's go. We've done our job here.
I'd like to bring up to the podium the director of our conservancy. Well, I suppose there's no need to add to that introduction. Here's Dr. Harry Rubin.
Harry walks up to the lectern, stroking the stain on his shirt. Strasser and Garth take their seats.
Thank you very much. In the time it took you to drive here tonight, three species have disappeared from the Earth. Extinct, never to be replaced. We here at the Conservancy say this is a tragedy. Well, obviously Joe agrees.
There's something wrong.
But tonight, instead of focusing on what we've lost, we'd like to introduce you to something that we've found. Ladies and gentlemen, behind this curtain is the newest member of the California Animal Conservancy. We are very happy and proud to introduce to you Mighty Joe.
Joe pushes over a tree. Greg leaps from his seat, diving onto Harry and pushing him out of the way as the tree falls through the marquee and Joe clambers into the tent.
Joe
ignores Jill.
It's okay.
Joe looks round, scanning the guests.
Come on, Joe.
Joe spots Strasser and stares intently at him, baring his teeth. Strasser's eyes widen in fear.
No! Joe!
Opening his mouth wide, Joe runs towards Strasser, throwing people, tables and chairs aside. Joe reaches out and grabs a man, but as he lifts him up, he realizes he's got the wrong one. Joe throws him aside. The man bounces off the wall of the marquee and lands on a table of food. Greg helps Jill up from the floor.
Oh my God, what's wrong with him?
He's out of control. I'm going for the track gun.
No, Greg! I'll stop him!
Jill trips and falls. Joe spots the fleeing Strasser and bounds after him, stepping on a man on the way.
Oh my God!
Strasser pushes people out of his way as he runs from Joe. One man falls into a keeper with a tranquilizer gun. The gun fires, and the dart embeds itself in Elliot's bottom. Strasser scrambles into the fallen tree, but Joe catches up with him. Greg fires a tranquilizer gun. The dart hits Joe in the arm. Joe turns round and stares angrily at Greg. Greg swallows. More keepers fire their tranquilizer guns. Joe totters as his eyes start to close. He falls on his back. In the tree, Strasser breathes a sigh of relief. Jill stares at Greg, who looks guiltily away.
The gorilla literally crashed the party. Officials here at the Conservancy are saying they don't know what caused the animal's rampage. More than a dozen people were injured. Eight of them remain hospitalized.
Morning.
In fact, three lawsuits have been filed so far, and word has that the city's attorney is calling for the animal to be put to sleep. Standing with me is the Conservancy Board's chairman, Elliot Baker. Exactly what is being done to assure the public that Joe won't attack again?
Joe has been transferred to a special steel-reinforced concrete bunker.
But what about when you let him out?
That won't be happening anytime soon. In fact, I want to make it clear that we will be doing anything necessary to ensure the safety of the public.
Mr. Baker, with the number of lawsuits that the Conservancy is now facing, will you shut down the facility to the public?
Joe sits behind heavy steel bars.
Joe.
Jill stares up at him, her hand through the bars, stroking his leg.
I'm right here, okay?
She turns tearfully to Greg.
I knew there was something wrong with him.
What do you think happened out there?
She shakes her head.
Joe would have never hurt those people unprovoked. Something must have got to him.
A heavy barred door opens, and Harry enters the gloomy chamber.
Jill? Could I talk to you for a second?
Jill strokes Joe's ankle a couple more times, and then walks out. Joe doesn't look at her, but sighs, his eyes glistening in the dim light. Greg looks in at Joe.
Well, this wasn't in the brochure, was it?
Greg rests his arms on one of the thick horizontal metal bars and nods sadly as he stares at Joe.
I promised you wouldn't be put in a cage.
Joe turns his head away from Greg.
I'm sorry, Joe.
Joe's head hangs. Gingerly, Greg, wearing a green t-shirt and beige trousers, crouches down and reaches in through the lower bars of Joe's cell. He slowly puts his left hand onto the huge, black, wrinkled palm of Joe's right hand. Joe, his lips pressed together, turns to look at Greg, who stares sorrowfully back. Joe's fingers curl gently up around Greg's hand. Greg blinks back a tear, as does Joe. Jill's with Harry.
And then the city attorney talked to Baker, so this wasn't my decision. I had nothing to do with this.
Nothing to do with what?
Joe's gonna have to stay in here until they decide what they're gonna do with him.
In here?
Yeah.
Harry, look at him. He's depressed. He won't eat. If he stays in here, he'll die within days.
Jill, there is nothing we can do about this.
Listen, Harry, either you tell them you're getting Joe out of here or I will.
Don't you understand? This is way beyond you and me. Joe freaked out on some very influential people. Now he's a public relations nightmare. No zoo will take a 2,000-pound killer gorilla.
He's not a killer!
Okay, okay. But unless you can write a check for millions of dollars and find him a big backyard somewhere, then Joe's got nowhere to go. I'm sorry.
Tears stream down Jill's cheeks.
Harry, you're not going to do anything?
Harry searches for words and then turns to leave. Jill presses her lips together. Jill turns to face the wall. Greg comes into the dingy office and gazes at her in concern. She turns round and walks towards him, her eyes full of tears.
I need your help.
Night. Cecily, Greg and Jill, all dressed in white coats, walk to the door of the bunker, a guard outside.
Good evening.
Evening. Hey, you can't go in there.
It's okay, we're here to give Joe more sedatives.
Why, hiya.
Hey, unless you want him to get frisky on your shift, I suggest you let us get on with our job so you can get on with yours.
They go inside, leaving the guard suspicious. Cecily unlocks the barred door of Joe's cage. She throws the keys to Greg as Jill takes off her white lab coat. Greg unlocks a cabinet full of equipment. Cecily slides open the door of the cage and Joe gets up on all fours.
Come on, Joe. We're leaving.
Jill kisses Joe's upper lip.
Let's get you out of here.
The guard comes in.
What the hell are you doing?
He aims a shotgun at Joe.
The gorilla needs his medication and I've got to take him over to the clinic for that.
Who says?
Doctor's orders. And I'm the doctor.
Yeah, well, I take my orders from Mr. Baker. So, put him back in his cage now.
Easy, Joe, easy.
Greg goes to stand in front of Joe.
Officer, you don't want to point that thing at him, believe me.
A tranquilizer dart shoots into the guard's neck. The guard collapses. Holding a tranquilizer gun, Jill shrugs.
He didn't believe you.
Cecily runs outside into the night holding Jill's torch. She turns it on and waves it from side to side, signaling to a large truck to reverse.
Okay, come on! Bring him out!
The huge metal door at the side of the concrete bunker building slides open and Greg hurries out, followed by Jill and Joe.
Come on, big guy. Come on.
Cecily looks around anxiously as she presses a button at the back of the truck trailer to lower the ramp. Joe walks slowly towards the trailer.
Come on, Joe. Into the truck.
Joe clambers up the ramp and into the trailer, its sides full of small round holes, letting the moonlight flood into it. Joe sits down.
Thanks.
Jill takes her torch from Cecily and hurries up to the cab of the truck. Cecily stares into the trailer at Joe and takes a deep breath.
I am gonna miss those big old brown eyes. You be good, Joe.
Bye, Joe.
Harry walks up.
I was just starting to get the hang of hide-and-seek.
Jill walks towards him.
I think you should be all right up here at the gate. Someone just called the guard away. Urgent business.
You came through for us, Harry.
She smiles and hugs him tightly.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Harry smiles at her as she breaks away from him and goes to hug Cecily.
You be sure to write us as soon as you get Joe settled, okay?
I promise.
Okay, you're all set.
So, you're gonna come to the airport, or?
No, I'm gonna hang back and make sure nobody notices Joe's gone. Give you guys a chance to make a run for it.
Okay. Well, if you're ever in Botswana and you feel like taking me out for a good meal in a fine restaurant, that is if you're not too afraid to let Joe know what time you'll be.
He presses his lips tenderly onto hers. He pulls away. Jill, her eyes shut, swallows. The door of the truck cab opens.
Jill, we should go now. The plane is waiting.
It's Strasser.
Come, let's go.
Jill runs to the passenger door of the cab and clambers onto the footplate. She turns and looks longingly back at Greg before getting into the cab and sitting between Strasser and Garth, who's at the wheel.
Hello.
Hi.
Jill stares ahead, concerned.
Don't worry, Jill. Soon Joe will be back home again.
Jill smiles faintly. Cecily, Harry, and Greg watch the truck drive slowly off into the night. Cecily turns to Harry.
So what do you think? How many minutes before the whole world knows he's missing?
Five. How many minutes before we're both looking through the want ads?
Six.
The two keepers pull up next to them in the red minivan.
What are you guys doing here?
What are you guys doing here?
Baker wants us to clean up the tent ASAP.
You should see some of the weird stuff we found in the post-party melee.
We've got the fun job of figuring out who all this stuff belongs to. Somebody's head is very cold right now.
A fur hat.
What is this thing, eh? Come on.
Greg runs over to them.
Where did you find this?
About a habitat. Oh, we gotta find those two guys.
Oh, what yeah. Two guys?
What's that? That one guy, he was, what, Lithuanian?
Yeah, Russian. Eastern European.
Is everything okay?
That thing's used by poachers.
Greg leaps into the minivan and roars off. The truck drives along a street in Hollywood. It goes over a bump.
Please be careful.
Always worrying, huh? Your mother was a warrior, too. Always worrying about the gorillas. It made her a lot of enemies. It led to tragedy.
My mother was brave.
So are you, my dear.
He smiles. Jill notices the leather thumb and forefinger strapped onto Strasser's right hand. He spots her stare.
What? It's not pretty, I know.
I'm sorry. How did it happen?
Strasser glances at Garth.
Well, you could say I had an encounter with the most monstrule.
Jill thinks back.
Monstrule. Oh, that little demon took off my thumb and trigger finger. Monstrule. Monstrule.
Jill's eyes fill with tears. She glances back at Strasser's hand and then stares ahead, thinking hard. Greg powers the minivan through the traffic, weaving in and out of the cars. His eyes bulge as he concentrates on his driving.
Come on.
He puts his foot down and roars past a car, pulling sharply back in front of it and catching up with the truck. Jill looks into one of the truck's side mirrors and spots the red minivan. Strasser also spots it and turns to Jill. He reaches inside his jacket. Jill elbows him in the face before grabbing his head and slamming it into the dashboard. As she kicks Garth, the door opens and she's left clinging to the open door. Strasser aims his gun and she lets go. Greg stares in horror as a car slides to a halt behind Jill. Joe spots her fall and gets up.
Joe, get out!
Strasser looks back.
She's driving!
Greg slams on his brakes to stop by Jill. He leaps out.
Jill! Are you okay?
He helps her up.
What did I do? Those are the guys who killed my mother! We gotta go! Joe's in trouble!
In the trailer, Joe sways from side to side. Jill and Greg climb back into the minivan. The rocking trailer tilts the truck cab from side to side, Garth wrestling with the steering wheel to try to keep control. The truck slides all over the road. Joe thumps the side of the trailer, making a huge dent in it. The minivan's surrounded by stopped cars.
Get out of the way! Come on, let's go!
A car starts to reverse. Joe bashes against the side of the trailer with all his strength and Garth loses control, the truck falling onto its side and skidding to a halt. Cars crash into each other as they avoid the truck. People in an open-topped bus stare at the scene.
Whoa!
People get out of their cars and pedestrians stop to stare at the truck. A huge hairy fist is thrust through the side of the trailer. A man in a yellow car yells at the traffic.
What? Come on, nobody's seen an accident? What?
Slowly, Joe makes the hole in the side of the trailer bigger and hauls himself out. Some people start running, others get back into their cars, but others remain rooted to the spot, watching in awe as Joe stands up and beats his chest with his fists.
Oh my God.
The man in the yellow car drives on.
Will you just go?
As he nears the back of the trailer, Joe jumps down and walks over his car. Joe turns back to look at the petrified man who has his eyes firmly shut. Joe shakes his head. Strasser stands on Garth's head as he heaves himself out of the truck cab. Garth climbs out after him and looks around.
Come on, wait. The police will be here any second. We have to get away from here. Come on!
Strasser reaches back into the cab and pulls out a rifle case. Joe walks down Hollywood Boulevard, people fleeing from him as he roars. Spotting Grauman's Chinese Theater, he turns to get a better look, knocking a white Mercedes car as he does so. Joe turns round to face the car and snarls at it before thumping its bonnet. The front of the car collapses. Some teenagers watch and laugh. Joe thumps the boot, which crumples. Having failed to shut the car up, Joe turns round again and sits on its roof. He sits on it again. Joe nods. As police cars head towards the scene, Joe sets off across the road, cars desperately driving forwards or reversing to try to get out of his way and crashing. A girl can't get her golf convertible to start as Joe approaches. The other three girls in the car scream in terror as Joe reaches out and, picking up the car by its roll bar, moves it out of his way. Joe looks in through the ticket office window of the Chinese theater. The woman inside screams in horror. Joe turns to look at a police car and then starts to climb up one of the red painted columns at the entrance to the building, pulling off Chinese metal masks stuck to the pillar on his way up. People gather round to watch him. Joe stands up on a balcony at the edge of the steeply sloped roof and beats his chest. He opens his mouth wide, displaying his huge teeth. One kid imitates Joe by beating his chest. The woman from the ticket office steps out of her booth and stares up in amazement. An armed policeman runs towards the scene and looks up at the roof, but Joe has now gone. Greg stops the minivan beside the overturned truck. Jill leaps out and spots the hole in the trailer's side.
He's not here!
Couldn't have gotten far.
Let's go.
They follow the other people running towards the theater and reach the armed policeman.
Copy that. Orders are shoot to kill is extremely dangerous.
Shoot to kill? He's not dangerous. You're what? Dangerous.
It's
what
okay,
are you doing with a gun?
It's okay. She didn't mean
it. I meant it. You're going to shoot him.
Not if we find him first.
What's that?
Jill stares up at a helicopter.
Say, come on, we'll follow that helicopter. Come on.
Now on a high hillside, Joe looks out at the city, the helicopter flying over it. In the distance, a searchlight reaches up into the sky and swings back and forth. Joe jumps down from a huge letter O, which forms part of the word Hollywood, and starts back down the hillside, making his way towards the searchlight. Greg and Jill hare back to the minivan, passing arguing motorists. Strasser assembles his rifle.
What are you doing? We can't go after the gorilla now.
We need a car.
Garth goes to the driver's window of a Range Rover.
Could you please step out of the vehicle?
What's the problem?
Strasser points his gun.
Fifth time this year. Hey, I'm going!
Garth drags him from the car.
You don't have to be so pushy about it.
A man's on the phone.
County Animal Control? You're not gonna believe this.
Honey, look at the bird.
birdman.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes, it was. It was a gorilla. A big one. Did you guys see it?
Bambi, come on, sweetheart. Bambi, no. It's a gorilla, honey.
A woman picks up her dog whilst the man on the phone inspects the flattened parts of his garden fence. Joe wanders down a slope and stops at the edge of a wide highway, three lanes of traffic moving in each direction. Joe watches the cars passing, their headlights bright in the darkness, and then he spots the searchlight in the distance again, swinging back and forth. Suddenly, Joe's illuminated by a bright light shining down from a helicopter above.
Squad 1, this is Police 2-4, we found.
Joe runs over the highway, cars slewing across the road as they try to stop. He leaps over the metal barrier in the middle of the road and looks briefly up at the helicopter following him before walking across the rest of the road, a large truck with smoke shooting out of its wheels heading straight for him. The truck hits Joe's bottom as it stops. Joe roars at the driver and then runs on.
Yeah, Police 2-4. Squad 1's on the scene.
Another helicopter's in the sky.
He's going in the brush. Don't lose him.
Armed men lean out of a side door of one chopper. Joe charges through bushes and then suddenly stops, almost toppling into a concrete storm drain, but just managing to slide his hands down the sidewall of the drain to steady himself. He looks up at the two choppers following him and then bounds on. As Joe tears along the top of the concrete wall of the storm canal, men in the choppers start to fire at him. Joe looks round as a bullet smacks into the concrete by his feet. Then, taking a huge leap, he grabs hold of a girder under a bridge going across the drain and swings down into the concrete channel below him. He gallops on through the shallow water.
Got him now.
The two helicopters sink lower as they follow behind Joe in the high-sided drain. Joe runs under some pipes. More shots are fired. The bullets ricochet off the pipes.
Look out, electrical wires! Pull up!
The choppers climb steeply into the night sky. Joe runs under a road bridge, splashing through the water. The choppers sink lower again to resume their pursuit.
Where'd he go?
They hover over the bridge.
Must have got under that overpass.
We'll cut him off.
The helicopter searchlights shine around the surrounding area as the men search for Joe. The choppers sink down into the drain on either side of the bridge and hover just above the water. As one of the choppers turns, its light shines on a narrower channel leading off the main drain, just by the bridge.
Must have gone up that access ramp. Let's go find him, let's go!
The helicopters rise and fly off along the narrower channel. Joe's clinging to the girders underneath the bridge, pressing his body flat against the bottom of the roadway. Hearing the choppers departing, Joe unhooks his hind feet and swings down into the drain. He looks up and down the concrete-sided canal, and then, spotting the searchlight shining back and forth in the black night sky, walks off in its direction. The police arrive on the highway where Joe crossed it. Greg and Jill drive over a bridge near the scene. They look down at the chaos below.
Where's he headed?
Jill spots the searchlight.
Look! He thinks it's my flashlight! He's going towards the light! He thinks I'm calling him! That's it!
Greg drives on, but Strasser and Garth are following close behind the red minivan in their stolen Range Rover. The searchlight is at the edge of a fairground beside a beach. Looking like a drum on four wheels, its bright beam of light stretches far up into the sky. Near it, the brightly coloured lights of the fairground rides flash, illuminating the darkness with all the colours of the rainbow. People are flung about in a whole variety of rides. A boy is in the queue for the Ferris wheel.
Mom, I don't think you should go on this ride.
Why?
Because you threw up last time, remember?
Yeah, what if I promised to throw up over the side?
I should go on this by myself.
Okay. I'll get us some cotton candy.
Okay.
And no rocking, Jason!
Time.
Blonde-haired Jason gets into a Ferris wheel car on his own, rising up over the rides and stalls. Over the arched entrance to the fairground, lettering reads, Palisades Ocean Park. Joe walks under the arch and bumps his head on it. Spotting him, people fall over each other as they try to run away. Joe looks round and spots the searchlight turning from side to side. He walks over to it, heading straight towards a little girl. Her mother drags her away. Another man runs from Joe, knocking a teenage boy and his popcorn over the edge of a stall. Joe reaches the searchlight and looks around it. He's a little bit puzzled. He pushes it away from him and then looks around at the fairground, children and their parents running around in panic. The Ferris wheel operator is busy getting people off its cars.
Come on, kids, out of there. There's a wild animal loose. Come on, find your parents. Go, go, go.
Joe wanders up to a shooting alley where people wearing ear protectors are shooting at animal pictures, including gorillas. As Joe roars, the stall operator charges off, but the people shooting don't hear Joe, who's right behind them. Greg and Jill race into the fairground, passing everyone else running in the opposite direction.
Come on!
They run towards the searchlight. Strasser's aiming his gun.
There she is.
Just what exactly are you aiming at?
Strasser watches Jill running.
No, you can't do that.
If that girl starts telling people who we really are, our whole cover operation will be blown.
She's not an animal. She's a human being.
No! Jill and Greg stop by the searchlight.
Let's go this way.
As they run off, Strasser fires. But Garth knocks his gun and the bullet hits the searchlight, sending sparks flying into the air.
Just very stupid, Garth.
What was that?
I don't know. Come on.
Some of the sparks catch sandbags and nearby huts on fire. Greg stops running.
Come on, find Joe!
You're not a hunter. You're a murderer, and I don't want any part of this.
Strasser bashes Garth's head with his gun.
Anything else on your mind?
Garth slumps in his seat. Fire rips through the stalls. Greg charges over to the Ferris wheel.
The fire's spreading pretty fast. Keep this wheel moving. We'll get him out on the run.
Come on, you guys. All right, that's it.
Greg helps to unload the people from the cars. A woman watches. Greg gets more people off the Ferris wheel. Jill looks desperately around for Joe. Strasser walks purposefully through the fairground, unconcerned by the panicking people charging past him. The Ferris wheel operator carries a girl down to her mother, flames leaping up around the bottom of the huge structure. The operator calls over to Greg.
Okay, we got everybody off! Thanks!
Under the Ferris wheel, a man opens an engine shed and is thrown backwards by an explosion. The Ferris wheel stops. Hordes of people flee from the fairground, running out under the arched sign. Jason's mother looks frenetically around for her son.
Jason!
She drops the candy floss she's carrying.
Jason!
Joe's admiring himself in the Hall of Mirrors, looking into one which makes his face appear really long. Meanwhile, there's mass hysteria at the entrance to the Hall of Mirrors as people tumble over each other in a bid to escape. Joe walks slowly out. Greg and the Ferris wheel operator are using fire extinguishers to try and put out the flames licking up around the base of the wheel. Strasser pulls out a pistol from a side holster under his jacket. Jill spots Joe's shadow on the back of some stalls and runs towards him.
Joe!
She's stopped by Strasser. Breathing heavily, Jill stares at the pistol pointing at her.
Goodbye, Jill. Meet your mother in hell.
Goodbye.
She spots Joe stalking up behind him. Strasser turns and Joe picks him up by his left hand, holding him at mouth level and roaring. A police car pulls up. The officers inside watch as Joe hurls Strasser into the air. Strasser crashes through a sign and lands on some cables. He looks down to spot an electricity substation below him. He falls and is engulfed in a shower of blue sparks, his false thumb and forefinger still hanging from the cables. The officer radios.
Bring your marksman up here now!
Jill stares sorrowfully at Joe and strokes his arm. He looks sadly down at her, flames reflecting in his big brown eyes. Greg's still fighting the fire at the base of the Ferris wheel. His extinguisher runs out and he throws it down. In the distance, he spots a fire engine racing towards the fairground. A fireball engulfs stalls near the bottom of the Ferris wheel. The back doors of a police van fly open and a whole team of police officers wielding submachine guns jumps out. As the armed police charge around the fairground, Greg stands at the bottom of the Ferris wheel looking desperately around.
Costa was here! Joe just killed him! We gotta get out of here now!
Come on! It's too late!
No. We gotta stop him! Come on!
Jill and Greg run towards the police.
Evacuate the area! Get out of the way!
No,
get
back! Don't
get out of here now!
Hearing a cry, Joe looks up at the Ferris wheel. Jason's in the top car.
Mommy, help me!
Jason stares down at Joe, terrified. Joe looks around, but seeing no one near him, he walks towards the Ferris wheel. He jumps as sparks fly and flames leap up around the steps. He walks past the steps and, standing up on his hind legs, grabs hold of the fence around the loading platform. He yanks the fence away.
Joe?
Joe jumps up onto the loading platform and glances back at Jill.
Joe!
Fire upon my command!
An armed police officer aims his rifle at Joe. Jason's mother runs up to the police officer giving the orders.
Officer, I can't find my son, and I never saw him get off the Ferris wheel!
Jill looks up.
Look!
Oh my God! Jason!
Mommy!
Joe climbs up the huge Ferris wheel, jumping to one side as flames and sparks shoot up around him.
He's gonna try and save him! Don't shoot!
The senior police officer stares up, troubled. Jason's mother turns pleadingly to the officer.
Hold your fire!
The armed police officers look at one another in puzzlement as they lower their weapons. Jill, her skin glistening with sweat, watches anxiously as Joe nears the top of the Ferris wheel. News crews race into the fairground. Firemen arrive on the scene. Flames shoot up at Joe, who loses his grip and clings on by one hand. Jill and Greg can hardly bear to look as Joe manages to regain his grip.
Okay.
With renewed determination, Joe climbs further up. Firemen prepare ladders. Joe swings up to the car that Jason's in and reaches his enormous hand inside and gazes fondly at the boy. Petrified, Jason holds on to Joe's hand.
He's got it.
More explosions rip through the base of the wheel. Joe loses his balance and once again hangs on with only one hand. He looks around and manages to swing his feet up onto a strut. A girder at the base of the Ferris wheel breaks. Everyone sprints away from the Ferris wheel as one of its legs crumples and the huge structure starts to tip onto its side, Joe still clinging to the top of it. Joe lets go and is flung away from the wheel as it crashes to the ground. Joe thuds down on the hard tarmac on his back, still clutching Jason. Sparks and smoke billow up from the Ferris wheel. Joe lies motionless. Jill and Greg look around and then run over to him, along with Jason's mother. As Greg releases Jason from Joe's gentle grip and helps Jason into his mother's arms, Jill puts her arms around Joe's head.
Joe! Open your eyes. Come on, big guy. Come on.
Mommy!
Oh, honey. Oh, I'm here. Oh, open your eyes.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Come on, Joe!
Jill goes to Joe's side.
Joe!
She presses an ear against his chest.
Mommy! Be okay?
I don't know, honey. No! No! Joe!
Reporters run towards the scene.
Keep these people back!
Greg runs towards the reporters and helps push them back. Jill slumps down by Joe's head and sobs.
No!
Jill caresses Joe's face, hot tears streaming down her cheeks. She rolls over and nestles against his big arm, tenderly stroking his hair. Joe remains motionless, his mouth hanging open. Greg can't bear to watch. He looks away and bows his head. Jill shuts her eyes. Joe's giant body is illuminated by the flickering glow of the flaming fairground and the flashes from photographers' cameras, one hand over his chest, the other stretched out across the tarmac. A huge black finger softly strokes Jill's cheek. She opens her eyes and looks round. Joe opens his eyes. Jill sits up excitedly. Greg runs over as Jill plants kisses on Joe's face.
Joe! He's alive!
You big palooka! That's no way to ride a Ferris wheel.
Joe! My God, you scared me.
We gotta get him out of here. Get him somewhere safe.
Somewhere safe? Somewhere safe means a new home for Joe. Where are we gonna get that kind of money?
I've got some money for Joe.
Jason steps forward and hands Jill a dollar bill. Jill takes it with a warm, thankful smile. The senior police officer walks over to Greg.
Here, for Joe.
He hands him money.
Come on, folks, let's help Mom.
All the police officers and reporters hand Greg and Jill money.
Thank you.
Birds fly over a wooden entranceway in the jungle, lettering reading Joe Young Wildlife Park.
Dear Cecily, I promised to write you when Joe was settled, and now I finally can. With all the contributions people sent in for Joe, we were able to buy a beautiful land preserve that's even big enough for him.
Jill cuts a ribbon across the entranceway.
Dome Fauna!
We dedicated the Joe Young Wildlife Park today, and it was one of the happiest days of my life.
Jill hugs Quelly and then Greg. A crowd cheers. Joe walks up to the entranceway.
At last, I have kept my promise to my mother.
Jill clutches the pendant on her necklace.
The people here are saying Engaizamu, the sacred guardian, has returned to protect the mountains. Other people still say Engaizamu is just a legend. I say, legends live forever.
Joe gallops across a grassy plain, his fur glowing in the sunshine, and then disappears into the jungle. ITFC audio description by Joanna Myers and Mark Leavesley.